For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My thing is, like, there's like 80% of the league that's available for the right price. There's very few players that are truly and deeply untouchable, and that's, of course, part of Football Night in America. But, like, and Njoku's available for the right price. Is that real? Are we breaking news there?
I get what you're saying. Like, if there was three first-round picks offered, which is insane, and somebody would be on drugs, but if it's, like, three first-round picks for David Njoku, then, yeah, that's the right price for the Browns.
Yeah, like, I'm available for the right price. Like, if there's a pretty woman situation
out there... We're one day into this, and you're already shopping yourself around?
I was purely talking about in the bedroom. Okay. Like, if there's somebody out there, like, I guarantee you, Vanessa loves me. She gets jealous when any woman, or anybody, really looks at me, like, even halfway. She gets jealous.
I've heard with the salt and vinnies that you throw me, she gets very upset there.
I guarantee you that if somebody came along and, like, $1 million for 5 minutes of Nick Wilson's time, she'd be like, I love you, go have fun.
Which is the right response, by the way. We need to make this abundantly clear. That is the right response.
No, because anybody doing that for me is probably mentally ill.
You said it, not me, man.
That
you
is
said
fair.
It, not me.
Now, speaking of David Njoku and the for the right price, Jordan Schultz just tweeting out that despite receiving interest on Pro Bowl tight end David Njoku, the Browns are highly unlikely to trade him. Cleveland views Chief as part of its long-term future. Tells me one of two things. Either they kind of just dipped their toe in the water on that one just to kind of see what people would maybe offer them as let's just kind of answer that phone call, or they just didn't get the offer that they were hoping for. That's one of those two things, or potentially both.
Is there a chance they feel like this rebuild might not take forever?
Man, I don't know, because I see what you're saying. Yes, there's a chance that they don't think this rebuild is going to take that long.
I should remind people listening out there, by the way, Njoku still has another year on his contract after this season. That's why it's like Za'Darius Smith is that conversation as well. When you have a year after this season, maybe things do change.
But, I also think it might be, I don't think they want to signal to the fans that this rebuild might take more than I think this organization does a lot of things optically because they realize if you rock the boat too much, you can start to lose your season ticket base. And so I think that's sometimes why, and I mean this actually in a respectful way, I think that's a smart thing to do. Like, there were times where they were too honest with you previously, and I think it hurt them at the box office. Well, they're trying to build a brand new beautiful monstrosity in Brook Park. You don't want to signal to people, and I know that's forever away, but you're trying to get money in the coffers. You don't want to signal to people, hey, guys, let's talk in 2027.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though, and you know what I feel about and how I feel about David Njoku. He's my favorite Browns player. I've told you before, I don't buy Browns jerseys because I'm just not a jersey guy, but if I were to, I'd buy a David Njoku one. But if David Njoku got traded, it just doesn't have the same feel to it as if Myles Garrett got traded. I just don't know that. I don't know that Browns fans would be torn up over it the same way like you was it last week or 2 weeks ago said you would just denounce your fandom if they traded Myles Garrett.
Yes.
Like, I just don't know that we feel that same way about David Njoku.
Yeah, but I still think he's one of the more beloved guys. I think
part of the core, and he's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Well, and I mean, we're what, 9 games removed from him having the season that we all waited. You know,
after
eight seasons
splashed,
for.
Excuse me, after having the burn,
yeah,
incidents and everything like that, and then him coming back and being the player that he was.
Yeah, I mean, I think we find. Well, and by the way, I think that's not me saying that about David. I think they finally put him in a scenario where he could be productive by giving him a quarterback that was worth the salt.
It's been such an up and down thing in general. You know, I'm going back to the Freddie Kitchens days when Kitchens put him in the doghouse and all these other type of things, and then he wanted to be traded. And there's a lot of history with David Njoku.
Yeah. I'm going to put that one on Fast Freddy.
Well, we can put everything on Fast Freddy.
Yeah. But so you said something there that I think is really important. I'm not like this year. I'm ambivalent. I'm not apathetic. But I still think there's importance to the next 8 games. I do. I just am no longer going to expect them to win every one of these games because I think reality set in. I'm going to be watching them for various reasons. And the Nick Chubb stuff. Yeah. I'm going to watch to see if he can put it together. Because it matters to me that he does. I'm going to watch to see if you can get the passing game going consistently with Jameis, DTR, anybody else. Where the offensive line is. DeJuan Jones has a solid 8 games to try and prove himself as a left tackle. There's plenty of things I'm watching for.
Yeah.
But I think we get this idea that, like, you're just going to plug in a young quarterback and win again next year. I think we have to be open to the idea. I'm not saying it's definitive one way or another. Might have to be open to the idea that this might be more than, like, this might be a rebuilding in the sense that this season is a lost season, but next year is going to be a year where you're competitive with a purpose, but you still might not be a playoff team.
I think that's really hard for people, and I think it's because of the teams that I brought up, though. I think the Commanders and what happened with Jaden Daniels. I think the Bears and what happened with Caleb Williams, even though we can maybe make an argument that that's not going the greatest that they wanted, and then what happened with C.J. Stroud in Houston. I think people look at these teams, and they just say to themselves, like, you're a quarterback away, and then, like, you're gambling at the casino or something. You think you're one big slot push away from winning the jackpot. I feel like a lot of people just think that way. And so you kind of organize these teams like, well, what would happen if C.J. Stroud was all of a sudden our quarterback or someone like that, for instance, or someone could play up to his ability? And I think it just becomes really hard on people.
Yeah, but I just think,
like,
that...
How do you build a team here, Nick? Do you build a team with the idea that if you draft Cam Ward, he's going to be instantly awesome? Or do you build a team with the idea that it's going to take you a couple years beyond that and you're going to give him the time to grow and everything else that accompanies it?
I think a lot of this depends on what happens above. Like, I mean, with Kevin and with Andrew and the organization, is there turnover? Like... the Browns are kind of in control about how long this is going to take. And by the way, the deadline's another reminder of that. Like, right. Trading in Njoku's probably one step farther away from competing next year.
Well, when you see how these decisions, though, they impact exactly what you do with even the quarterback that you draft, for instance. Like, part of the reason why the Colts benched Anthony Richardson is because they thought they have a team that can win the Super Bowl right now. And they think, this is their words, not mine, obviously, but they thought, they were surprised at how quick it all came together. When they drafted Anthony Richardson, they didn't think it would all happen as quickly as they did. They were prepared to have it be a couple years, 2-3 years. And then they just completely blew that up because they didn't have the time.
But I think that's what you go in. You go in saying, like, respect to Washington, respect to Chicago, respect to CJ last year. In NFL history, those are still the anomalies.
For sure.
And,
for sure,
and you
are.
Might be better positioned to win than some people. But, like, let's just, it's not just about the guys who are here now. Your ability to contend next year, compete. Contend, that's out the window until this organization proves they're serious about that. But the ability to compete year in, year out, and do it early with a young quarterback, you got to also hit the other picks around that guy. Because I think that's what this is. That's the other part of this equation.
That's where the Browns have drastically failed.
Well, yes. I mean, as of late, I actually think the bigger problems are draft picks from 3 years ago. Like,
I'm putting that in my Andrew Berry window. My as of late window is still.
We can have that conversation another day. But, like, today, like, you look at this and it's like, which, again, that's another conversation about Andrew Berry. Will he be here making those picks? But, like, I'm at this point, I'm not even certain anymore that they're going to take a quarterback this year. They might look at this and go, you know what? This year's a lost year. Maybe 2026, we value the opportunity to get in on Drew Aller or Arch Manning or any of these guys. So we're going to actually use this year to load up on and basically try to build around and maybe pick up that 2026 first rounder.
Yeah.
That allows us to maybe we luck into it. We do the Bryce or we do the Caleb Williams. You luck into it by preying on a weak, bad organization who's going to throw away a future first.
See Arch Manning dressed up as Scooby-Doo?
I did not.
He took the Johnny Manziel costume where he was dressed up as Scooby-Doo and then went out and threw for a million yards. Arch Manning did that, and Texas fans, they were crumbled. They crumbled. They were so despondent that he would take one of Johnny's moves.
Yeah, he's so much better than Johnny, though.
I know. I think he is, too. But
you should,
I mean,
just enjoy it.
Johnny in college was also awesome.
Yeah. Be better, Texas fans. That's what I'm going to say to them. But no, do you see what I mean? Like, I think
I'm not playing with as long of expectations as you, though, I guess. And I might end up being disappointed. I might be way wrong on this, but I feel like in the NFL, You got a lot of core pieces here. You got a lot of good pieces on this team. Like telling us and telling everyone that's listening right now, not 2025, we're going to do 2026 is just, it feels like you might as well say 2036.
I don't think they're going to tell you.
Well, again, their actions will tell us.
Well, yeah, but even then, I think they're going to...
Like, we're not idiots. Their actions are going to tell us what they're doing.
We're not idiots, but I think we sometimes hear what we want to hear. I think Browns fans are going to be willing to take that bait. Oh, we expect to be competitive this year. I think they're going to say all the right things. If these guys are the guys that are in place, I think they're going to say all the right things. But, like, I don't know how you can possibly go and say, well, we're going to go from 3-14 to 14-3, or from 3-14 to 11-6. And I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying, like...
It's hard. I get it.
Like, a good organization can retool on the fly and do well. But, like, in L.A., and I know L.A.'s finally... They're kind of like a 500 team right now. But, like, look how long it's taken L.A. to rebuild post the Super Bowl win. I bet you if you had thought the one-loss season when Stafford got injured, I bet you they would thought you would have been well all the way back by now... Haven't been.
They made the playoffs last year.
Because there's, yeah, but they, but like, you weren't really a threat. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of one of those, well, you played a bad schedule and you took care of what you had to take care of. Oh, and by the way, in an absolute weakened NFC.
Bad NFC, no doubt about it. And they had a bad draw. It was against the Lions, too. That was the Stafford Goff game where Goff got the best of them. But I don't look at it needing to be that long.
Is
I
it
really
because
don't.
You want to be?
Yes. Okay. A lot of that is, for sure, yes. But I also look at other teams across the NFL, and I feel like in years past, we looked at it like if you were where the Browns are right now, that was like, it took 10 years to get yourself out of that, right? And I just look at the way the NFL is set up right now and the money that has them, I will assume, continue to spend, and maybe I'm wrong there. I just don't think it takes that long in order to turn this thing around. You might have the wrong guys, though.
I think Denzel's health goes a long way into this. Whether at any point you consider trading Miles goes into this. I think your ability to keep guys healthy and motivated. I think who your head coach is. Like, I think there's, and by the way, some of this is going to be luck. Like Caleb Williams goes one.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels go two, and Jaden Daniels looks like the decidedly better quarterback. C.J. Stroud's the number two quarterback off the board.
Right.
He is miles ahead of where Bryce Young is. So, like, even that, like, even getting the number one pick isn't the end-all, be-all, because you got to draft the right quarterback, and I think right now... I don't think it's ever been more up in the air about who's going to hit in the NFL, because I think the variables continue to get more and more out of reach of NFL teams, namely the preparedness and knowing how prepared any of these guys are going in.
Well, and also, too, we talked about earlier the idea that there's 9 2-win teams, and think about what happened last year with the draft. Top three picks were all three quarterbacks off the board. Like, if the Browns are drafting sixth or fifth, then you're not drafting the quarterback you want.
Well, and... conversely, because kind of what you're going at, whether they try to win every one of these games or not, and that then's going to have an impact on if Kevin Stefanski's back.
Yeah.
Like, there's a correlation there of, well, would you take the 11th pick if it meant Kevin was back, or would you just rather have the third pick? Mm-hmm. I bet you might have to sacrifice Kevin Stefanski. I think there's a lot of complicated math here for an organization that when they get in the muck, is not where I trust them the most. When everything's riding high and everything's good, when everything's going their way, I think they're a good organization. That's like half the organizations. That's the middle part of the NFL where the Browns subside now. So even though it looks like they're in the bottom five, they're not. They're not where Carolina is. They're not where a lot of these other problematic... Honestly, they're not where the Saints are, which that thing is going in the worst possible direction. But do I think it might take more than just this offseason to fix him? Yeah, I think we have to be open to that. I don't think anything's written in stone because we got half a season to play and you've got an offseason to look at here. But I think there's a lot going that says, all right, let's not close the door that all of a sudden they're going to be contenders again next year just because they drafted, even if they draft the right rookie quarterback. 216-474-0092. Is this more than a one-year fix? Meaning more than a one-offseason fix and... Denzel Ward and the Peterlin pass. I don't know what the equivalent of a Wilson pass is, but I might be handing one out next on 92.3 The Fan. Unlike some shows in town, somebody plays hurt, you're going to know it. And I'm going to give props to that person while I disagree with them vehemently and start a fight.
Yeah, you still got to bring the heat, though. It's not an excuse.
No. I'm still going to try and ravage him and just fight him at every opportunity.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I realized what I said.
Easy now.
You're like, oh, easy. That's not, I didn't know you guys were that close.
Although he did say, I'm glad somebody's
pounding.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody's on that show that would take care of Nick Wilson.
It's true.
But okay.
That's what you're here for, taking care of Nick Wilson. Speaking of playing hurt, can I steal the Peterlin pass, or do I have to come up with my own alliterative version of that?
I do love alliteration. If you have one, I don't think you have one, though, so that was a bold ask of you.
Yeah, we're partners now. You kind of have to,
okay.
Right? Speaking of taking care of me, I got to give Denzel a Peterlin pass for yesterday.
I mean, those are the two biggest plays of the game.
Yeah, get it. But if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with Denzel. Like, there are certain guys, and this kind of goes back to the Nick Chubb thing.
As established by the Nick Chubb. Yeah, no, Odyssey, I mean, Rewind, 420.
Like,
and then 440.
In the midst of a season where all hope to be a true playoff team and contender is lost, in lieu of that, if I'm going to lose some games here, I can forgive Denzel. I can forgive Nick Chubb. If he's not ready to be the Nick Chubb of old, I can forgive just certain players. And some of the Peterlin pass that I am offering Denzel is simply, I didn't expect that guy to play, and I can't believe he did. And I think at some point in the last 10 years, I don't know what happened with sports fans and sports media, where we stopped like propping up the guy that played hurt. We sure as hell did it with Baker in this town, and it enabled a franchise to run the guy out of town.
Wait, but I thought you just said that we were going to expect a lot out of Daryl Ryder, who is playing sick today. So wouldn't we, if you're going to play, you got to play to your best, right?
No. That's the media. That's totally different.
Okay.
I'm holding players to a different standard because I like Denzel more than I like Daryl.
I think 80% of Denzel Ward is going to be better than whatever you would have done with comboing it with MJ Emerson and Newsom and everything like that. So like from that perspective, if Denzel said he was fine, then Denzel was fine. How do we have miscommunication issues between him and Thornhill, though? How does that happen?
Well, I don't know, but here's the other thing. It's been happening in the back seven all year. And so... Last year, when that happened in the second half, I thought it was because Rodney was hurt and Rodney missed the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And Rodney was kind of the guy that was like part of the communication thing. This year, Rodney's out there and Thornhill's out there. So I don't know how it's happening. But I don't throw it just, even though Denzel did the thing of, that's on me, I'll take, you know, if you want to say that's on me, I'll take. No, I don't care about that. I think it's a whole thing. And I don't know if that's on Jim. I don't know if they're starting the communication with the middle linebacker. Obviously, Jordan Hicks has been out. I don't know, but I can't blame Denzel. And this is another reason why I got to give Denzel a pass for something that's been happening all year long.
Denzel, by the way, did make a couple really nice plays in the game. Well, I want to acknowledge that, but like, I saw a lot of people blaming Schwartz. I saw a lot of people blaming Thornhill. Thornhill got compared to Andrew Sendejo yesterday, which is...
That's mean.
That's about the meanest thing you can say to a Browns defender.
Yeah. Like, what's next? Comparing him to... who is the linebacker? BJ Goodson? Yeah. No, we're not doing that here. Not today.
Well, then Josh Johnson comparisons also got brought into the mix as well.
Man, you mean John Johnson III?
Sorry, John Johnson. Josh Johnson was the quarterback.
Yeah. That one actually.
John Johnson's the guy that I one time told him how my family almost named me Peter to be Peter Peterlin.
Uh-huh.
And he said, he told me a story about how he's going to name his kid John Johnson, but he hated it. He absolutely hated that name. But he was third generation John Johnson, so he kept having to do it.
So he's just passing the curse on?
No, I got the story wrong in my head as I said it.
Okay.
John Johnson was the third. Okay, he's the third version of being John Johnson, and he was going to break that chain. He wasn't going to do it to his kid. He was going to be the better John Johnson in that instance, and he regretted his family doing that. And I'm thankful that my family did not name me Peter Peterlin.
That's actually even worse because aren't you the second born son?
Yeah, I am the second born son.
So I mean,
they didn't debate it with the first one, but yeah. once you get a second, it's like we can just name you anything.
If you're gonna do a Peter Peterlin, it's got to be the first Peter, Lynn.
You know how annoying your life would be if my name was Peter Peterlin.
I can barely say Peterlin right now, let alone Peter Peterlin.
It's like Robin Robinson. It's one of those names.
Oof. John Johnson III. Robert saying Wilson wave.
I'm envisioning you like actually waving.
Or no, I thought it was more like goodbye. A third base of like, you go home. I'm going to send you home, youngin.
It just doesn't hit the same way.
It doesn't.
It's not like, I give people a wave.
But are you going to give? Because I actually think you also made a point in my favor there where you said, well, he also made a couple good plays.
Yeah, I thought he looked good minus the two biggest plays of the game that obviously didn't go well.
Jameis was more or less bad yesterday. Like the best plays that I can give him are ones that either the receiver made or on that final drive, where let's be honest, the Chargers weren't trying to stop a damn thing out there. They were in prevent defense. So like, it's kind of like the end of the Cincinnati game. Like, what am I really giving you credit for?
Also, Denzel's been one of the best cornerbacks in the league this year. And so like, I'm not here to rip on the one thing that's gone well for the Browns when it comes to a defensive standpoint.
Sounds like you're giving him the Peterlin pass too.
I'm with you. I think we're lockstep here. I think we can agree on the idea that it's not all Denzel's fault.
Plus, double Peterlin pass.
Plus, I texted a buddy during the game. I'm like, I don't even care what they say after the game. That looked like it was way more on Juan Thornhill than it was on Denzel Ward.
You know what, Juan Thornhill? Ride that Peterlin pass yourself.
For me to rip Juan Thornhill. Out of the two scenarios, by the way, Juan Thornhill, who has consistently messed up his job, or Denzel Ward being awesome at his job, which one do you think is more likely to actually be the problem there?
Daryl Reiter's flu game next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.